It's recording today. You want to record?
Bereshis Arav, the Koshnitz Arav, in his Pirush on Parshas Bamidbar, he explains what a tzaddik is. He tells us there are two types of tzaddik in this world. One is the tzaddik who's only interested in his dveikus between himself and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the other who's obviously concerned with his dveikus between himself and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and also he's interested and is mispalo for that which goes on in this world. And such a tzaddik, he reaches a mokum in the Olam Ha'emes which a malach can't reach. And the reason for that is, he explains that a malach does not have any bechira. Therefore, whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him to do, he's got to do it, and there's no flinching from it. Whereas the tzaddik does have bechira, he does have the yetzer hara. Nevertheless, he is able to conquer it and to do, and therefore he reaches a much higher madrega than the mother. And this is a very apt description of the Rav Tzal. And when the Rav had such an evus that it was absolutely unbelievable unless you witnessed it yourself. When he used to call me, he would never say it's Rabbi Cooper on the phone, David Cooper here. And that says a lot more than I can say about him. Somebody once asked Rabbi Gurewitz, who is Rabbi Cooper? And the response was, I'll not only tell you who he is, but I'll tell you what he is as well. He's a Rav of North Hendon Adas, and he's also one of the top half a dozen Talmidei Chachomim in Europe. The Rav once asked me to take something to his old Chavrusa, who he learnt with in Geitzer Koilel. He was an Eretz Yisrael. And he said, please give him my regards and remind him that we were Chavrusa. He said to me, we weren't really Chavrusa. So I said, I can't believe that Rabbi Cooper would tell me anything that wasn't 100% correct. He said, well, let me explain something to you. He said, in the Koilel, my ability in learning was much higher than that of most of the other people who were there. However, the gap between myself and Rabbi Cooper was far, far greater than that. So we weren't exactly a chavrusa; it was more like the Rav and the Talmud. this particular individual is the Havdil Ben Chaim L'Chaim, is the head of a seminary in Yerushalayim. So I remember when we started Daf Yomi, the Rav's main concern was not how many people are going to get up so early in the morning. And don't forget, in those days, Daf Yomi wasn't as popular as it is today. So that wasn't his concern at all. His main concern was, and this included his son, whoever is learning elsewhere shouldn't switch over to his shiur. Why was this? Because the other people earned their panosa from it, and he was very makbid that he wouldn't take away anybody else's panosa. So he was more, this was the way that the Rav was, he had more concern for other people than he did for himself. And also in Daf Yomi, people would often ask kashas, including myself. Some of them were worthy, some weren't. Nevertheless, the Rav would always treat every kasha as though it was a brilliant kasha. He always had time to answer the kasha, and he always had the ability to make everybody feel good about the kasha that he asked. To give you some idea of his bekias, remember that once we were doing Daf Yomi, and the lights went out. Don't remember whether it was a fuse or there was a power cut. Didn't stop the Rav. Continued giving Daf Yomi verbatim, Rashin Tosfos, and one would have thought that he was actually reading it out of the Gemara. Didn't flinch at all. And with all this bekias that he had, and obviously he spent many, many hours preparing all the shiurim, the Rav always had time for his family, and he always had time for other people as well. He was able to be inclusive of people from all spectrums, and he couldn't have done this, and I know I'm going to get into trouble afterwards, Lahavdil ben Chaim Lachaim, without his lifelong partner, the Rebbetzin, who performs many acts of chesed that very few people are in fact aware of. But I can actually vouch for it, because I won't mention any, otherwise I'll be in serious trouble. Now, to be Messiah, it's a big schus to be able to be Messiah, the Mishnayos for the Rav Tzal, because Chazal tell us that from one has learned from somebody so much as I had the schus of doing for a period of over 30 years, the person is almost takes the place of somebody's father. So it gives you some sort of an idea of the relationship that we had. So on the last Mishnah in Uxin, Omar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi said, Osid HaKadosh Baruch Hu lahamchil pol tzadik v'tzadik shloish me'os v'asora olamos. Going to cause to inherit every single tzadik 310 worlds. Who is worthy of these 310 worlds? The Rav Tzal. Shenema, as it says, Lahamchil oyhavai yesh v'oytzrei sehem imole. It calls to inherit all those who love him, and he'll cause it through the storehouses. What are these storehouses? Asks the Baal Tanura. He says, these storehouses are storehouses of Torah. Who's going to inherit all these worlds and get this tremendous reward? Not only the people who've just learnt the Mishnayos, but the people who've upheld what they've learnt in the Mishnah and taught it to other people. Again, this very much encompasses the Rav Tzal. And we haven't dealt with Yesh yet. Yesh, what does Yesh stand for? So in Gematria, Yesh comes to 310. So why do we need another 310? What is it teaching us? That in the Olam HaEmes, they'll get 310 times more than anything that exists in the world which we are aware of. Omar Rabbi Shimon ben Chalafta, Loimotza HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kli Machzik, Baruch Hu Yisrael HaShalom. What will Klal Yisrael get from the as a reward because the tzaddikim have been learning so much and doing so many ma'asim tovim? They'll get shalom, which was very much what the Rav Tzal would always chase after. He'd always try and ensure that there was shalom everywhere. Shenema Adonai oiz li amo yitain Adonai yivorech es amo v'shalom. Turn to the Hadron now. Hadron alach sishu sidre mishav, hadron alach sishu sidre mishav, data chalam is nasi. Minachim sishu sidre mishav, alay nisashi minon lo vi'alma, hodim lo vi'alma de'osi. Hadron alach sishu sidre mishav, hadron alach data alach sishu sidre mishav, data chalam. Lo nisashi minach sishu sidre mishav, alay nisashi minyom lo vi'alma, hodim lo vi'alma de'osi. Hadron alach sishu sidre mishav, data chalam sishu sidre mishav, data chalam, lo nisashi minon. Yehi rotzoy mufanechu adonai lahayim. This is Kayim Bibisar Secha, Tancha Oisko Vishok Mecho, Tishmar Alecha, Vigizig Isisar Secha, Ki Yirbu Yamecho Vyasifu Lechoshnas Chaim, Oirech Yomim Biyamino, Oishavachova Bismilo, Adinoi Oisi Amoyitain, Adinoi Yvoreich, Samoy Vashoda.
ולאחיום מסונו, ולעסקונו לחיומו, ולמבנה קטע ירושלים, ולשחרלי היכולי לגבי, ולמעקה פולחונו נפרו מיראו, ולעסובו פולחונו דשמר לאסרי, וימליך כולו בריחו במחוסי ויקורי, וחייכוני ויום יכולי וחיי לכל בית ישראל, ועגלו בזמן קריב אמרו.
אמן, יאי, שמי
רבו מברם, ולא עולמי עולמיו, יסבורך ויסבח ויסבורך ויסרמם ויסנעשי, Is it always later the law? She made a good show,
brother.
I don't know if I'll be a sober, she wrote out, she took her sober, and I come also. Damir on Ali saw the Rabbana Mosamidian, and I'll call Damiday Samidian. I got Mondo, I see my eyes, so Diva, so Dane, with Divala Saviasa. Yea, Hon, the Father, Shomer, Rabbo, Hindu, Christ, Rahmi, the Fire, Rife, Umzoin, Rubi, Hef, Economy, Konama, Bundishmai, we are of him, Rome. Yea, Shomer, Rabbo, Minchmai, the Fire, Montoy, Mulane, or Kalisrael, him, Rome. Shalom Imran of Ubrahmo, we ask Shalom Aleinu al Kol Yisrael, Imru Amen.
It's just the Rav Shlita, it's just Avi Meri, it's just the family. Tammy have asked me to share some of my own memories as a Talmud of Rabbi Cooper, Zechena Livracha. Rabbi Cooper always used to say to me, the best Musa Sefer is to read the biographies of the Gedolim. Maybe we'll get a small insight into this Musa Sefer that Rabbi Cooper was. He was a walking Musa Sefer. One of my earliest memories of Rabbi Cooper, Zechena Livracha, as a young child, every Simchas Torah, my father used to say to us when we were little children, he used to say, go and ask Rabbi Cooper for Dvar Torah. We were little children, we always used to toddle up to him, ask Rabbi Cooper, we were terrified, Rabbi Cooper, please can we have a Dvar Torah? He always gave us a big smile, always told us a Dvar Torah. My earliest memory of that particular one of those Dvar Torah, he told me the Dvar Torah, the Torah to the Alon Moshe, Merosha Kilas Yaakov's, Pasuk, of course, we lay on Simchas Torah, Zos HaBracha. Torah Tzivalon Moshe, says the Gematria of Torah is, of course, 611, to teach us that Moshe Abenu, he instructed us directly with 611 mitzvahs, because the first two mitzvahs came from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Mi'aseh Tzadibis, the first two coming from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Years later, Rabbi Cooper said to me, when we're talking about educational issues, he said, when you teach a child, make sure you include gematrius. Children react very well to gematrius. And of course, that came back to me how when I was a young child, and he told me this gematria. That's how he was. You have to teach a child according to what the child needs. The child needs gematria, so the child will wake up and respond well to it. Rabbi Cooper, of course, first and foremost, with his chachma and his depth and his Torah knowledge, he used to tell me off if I asked him a kasha on a... I once asked him a kasha on a piece of Ben Yoyada. He said, I'll give you a teretz, but you have no right to learn that sefer. Your job in life is to learn Shas with Rishonim and Shulchan Aruch Baal Peh. And that's your main task. That is what you need to tackle. You shouldn't busy yourself too much with these other svarim. You've got to know Shas. You've got to know it by heart. You've got to know the Rishonim. You've got to know them absolutely clear in your mind. He was so insistent, when you finish learning with your Chavrusa, close your Gemara, make sure that you can say over the Gemara, the Rashi, the Tosfos, in your own words, the Shakla Vatari, you've got to know it by heart, you say it in your own words. If you don't, you haven't learnt it properly. And this is, of course, how he learnt. And we've seen his pages and pages of his Gemara summaries, how he would take a piece of Gemara and just write out the summary of the whole page of Gemara in 4 or 5 lines. He knew the Shakli Vitari by heart. So often I walked him home from shul asking him a question. He was there, he knew it. He knew the answer. It was all bal peh. He knew it. It was there. He knew it. At the tips of his fingers, it was all there. The knowledge was there. He could, with instant recall. There was only one occasion that I remember walking him home from shul, and I asked him a question, and I only remember on one occasion he said to me, "Oh, I have to look this up." And when I came home, walking home from the Ross house to our home, it took about 30 seconds if you walk slowly. And I walked in through the front door, the phone was ringing, he had the answer, he looked it up and he had the answer for me on the spot. Years later, after the stroke and after he was ill, and I walked with him, and I remember asking Akasha, talking about a Gemara piece, Gemara in Chulin, which I'd just been learning, and he said to me, "You have to forgive me," he says, I can't give you an answer, I don't remember it, I don't remember the Gemara. And then he said, "But you know," he said, "I've got an excuse for not knowing, because I'm not well, and my illness has made me forget my learning. You have no excuse, you're not allowed to forget anything of your learning." That's how he said to me. My son Yaakov Chaim, on one occasion when he went to visit him in Sage, he was there every Friday to see him. He was so delighted to have the opportunity to meet Rabbi Cooper and talk with him there in Sage. And after Rabbi Cooper was already unwell, and Rabbi Cooper showed him a letter that he'd received from someone which was quoting a Rashi on Pirkei Avos, and the quote included the word Mikem, from you. And Rabbi Cooper said, and he hadn't looked it up, he said, "Actually, Rashi doesn't actually say Mikem, he actually said Mimchem," which of course has exactly the same meaning, from you. But he was so aware, he knew the Rashi Baal Peh was the slightest difference, and not Mikem, but Mimchem, no big deal of a difference in meaning at all. But he pointed it out to Yaakov Chaim. He just wanted him to make sure he knew what the correct quote was. This is Rabbi Cooper in his Torah learning. We only have a small glimpse of it, have a kol shu shebechol shu of what his learning really was. Rabbi Cooper's avodas Hashem, just such total devotion. I remember, my father, you remember this, when my sister Leah had a baby on one occasion, one of the children, after Shachar's study, went to speak to Rabbi Cooper and to tell him the Besur service, telling him the good news that Leah's had a child. His immediate reaction was, "Mazel tov, nochen oved." That was his lashon, nochen oved. Someone else to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's how he saw a new baby, Mazel Tov, the new baby born in Klal Yisrael, Nachan Oved. That's his Avodas Hashem, was so devoted. Excuse me, I'm sorry. Anova, Rabbi Cooper's Anova, well known to everybody. He made nothing of himself, absolutely nothing, wouldn't hear of anything. No, you couldn't even hold a door open for him without a big fuss. I remember when I walked into shul after he was ill, and people took it in turns talking to shul. One occasion I was walking into shul, and I noticed on the way his shoelaces undone. And I said, "Rabbi Cooper, your shoelaces undone, it can be dangerous." "No, no, it's okay, leave it. I said, "It can be dangerous." I said, let me do it up for you. No, he didn't want me to do this up. Anyway, I did do it up, and he said to me, "But this is a pergam on your covered." That's what he said. I couldn't believe that to hear such words. "This is a pergam on your covered that you're doing up my shoelace." But he was so, it bothered him so much that the pergam on your covered that I should do up his shoelace. It sounded so funny to me. Rabbi Cooper always used to say, concerning the importance of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, consider the Gemara when Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai escaped from Yerushalayim and he went to Vespasian Aspinus, and he said to him, Shalom Aleich Malka, and he asked him for a number of favors. "Send me Yavne the Chachameho, please spare Yavne and the Chachamim in Yavne." So So people used to say, you have to imagine the conversation that took place there between Vespasian and Rabbi Nachum ben Zakkai. What Vespasian would have no doubt asked Rabbi Nachum ben Zakkai, what's going on in Yavne? You're so bothered to have Yavne and the Chachamim there. What's going on in Yavne? So the Kippur said, look, imagine the conversation. Rabbi Nachum ben Zakkai returned to Vespasian and said, Yavne is the center of our learning. Torah study is our very being. And Vespasian might have asked Rabbi Nachum ben Zakkai, okay, you study Torah, so give me a sample. What's going on? What's so special about your Torah learning? Give me an example of what you learned there. So Bakub used to say, you can imagine Rabbi Nachum ben Zakkai returned to Vespasian and quote a Mishnah in the beginning of Beitzah, Machlokes Beishamai Beisilel, how to grind up spices on a Yom Tov. Where Beishamai is a Machmir, Beisilel is more Mekel. Beishamai say you have to use a wooden mortar, and Beisilel say no, you can use a regular mortar. And you can imagine, so Rabbi Kibbe, imagine the Vespasian's reaction. Is this what you're busy with? Is this so important to you? This is what you study. How to grind up spices on one of your festivals is such a ridiculous thing to study. And because Rabbi Kibbe said, yes, that is Kehim Chayeli. That is our chiyus in life. That's our learning, our analysis of Beishamai Beisilel. That is our Kehim Chayeli. And that is what is so important, of course, from Nirchem and Zakkai. Just to go back to Rabbi Cooper's Anova, I remember in school, he took off Gemara Shiurim for many years. At that time, there was some very big announcement made by the local Rabbonim. They printed a letter, which was publicized and put out in the newspapers and in all the shuls. And all the local Rabbonim signed this letter. And Rabbi Cooper, Zichron Livracha, had not signed this letter. He was giving us a shiur one day in school, I was probably 13, maybe 14 years old. And he finished a piece of Gemara, and at the end of the Gemara, he turned to the class, he said, does anybody have any kashas? And one very naughty boy, who's since gone on to be a Magid Shir, one naughty boy put his hand up, yes, I have a kasha. The people said, yeah, what's a kasha? And this naughty boy said, there was this big letter that went out by all the local Rabbonim, and Rabbi Cooper, you didn't sign it. Why? Everybody's, all the Rabbonim signed this letter. Why didn't you sign the letter? And Rabbi Cooper gave a big grin and he said, I wasn't asked. It's another. Didn't bother him. He wasn't interested in anything, just learning, make sure you learn. The day I went to yeshiva, I went to say goodbye to him. You have to picture the scene. I went up to him. I didn't have a jacket. I don't think I owned a jacket. I certainly didn't have a hat. I don't think I owned a hat. I went up to him in my kipasu gun. I went to say, I'm going off to Gateshead to learn. And he gave me an Eitzah Amuka, which stood me so well for all my learning in Gateshead. And he said, when you arrive in Gateshead, the bochrim there might chepper you, not wearing a hat, not wearing a jacket. He says, forget it. Don't worry about any of it. Doesn't matter, none of it's important, just learn. Make sure you follow the shiurim, make sure you follow the Gemara, just learn with Hasmada. He says, you're not wearing your tzitzis out, people will tell you if you don't wear your tzitzis out, you're finished. So forget it, none of it matters, just learn, the important thing is to learn. It stood me through my years in Gateshead. I'm a bit emotional, I'm a bit disjointed because of the emotions of the evening. I go back to say a word that Rabbi Cooper told me about Anova. Rashi at the beginning of Shemini, I heard this from Rabbi Cooper. Rashi at the beginning of Shemini, when Aaron didn't go to the Mizbeach to offer up Karbonos, and Moshe turned to him and said, Loma Tabosh, why are you embarrassed? Why do you hold back? L'chach Mizcharta, this is what you've been chosen for. You've been chosen to bring Karbonos. This is your task, this is your role. Don't be embarrassed to do so. Go ahead and do the mitzvah. So go to the Mizbeach and offer up the Karbonos. So the Kupa said to me, there are two pshatim in Mitzrashi. You can learn simple pshat. Loma Tabosh, why are you embarrassed? L'chach Mizcharta, you've been chosen l'chach for this. But the word l'chach has another meaning, said Rabbi Cooper. The word l'chach can also mean therefore. Lama Tabosh, why are you embarrassed? Lechach, Therefore, Nivchartov, you've been chosen to do this avodah because you are the type to be embarrassed by it. Because of your anova, said Moshe to Aaron, because your anova, your reluctance, you don't think you're worthy to go to Mizbeach. Lechach Nivchartov, this is precisely why you've been chosen. You have to say the same of Rabbi Cooper, his humility just shone through all the time, constantly, the way he spoke to us all the time, always with immense anova. Rabbi Cooper had no interest in Gashmius, very simple lifestyle. He told me off for being overweight. He says it's overindulgence, it's not right. You're indulging too much in Olam Hazeh, you shouldn't. He told me off, he wasn't embarrassed to tell me off. He quoted the pasuk at the end of Vayigash, we're speaking about Klal Yisrael in Mitzrayim, Vayeochazuva. They took hold in it. They took hold in the land of Eretz Mitzrayim. Rabbi Cooper said, you know, Vayeochazu is a nifal. It doesn't really mean they took hold of it. They were taken by it. And it's a criticism of Klal Yisrael at the end of Vayigash. Vayeochazu, they were held by the land. He said, you mustn't be held by Olam Hazeh. Don't let Olam Hazeh hold you up to ransom. Rabbi Cooper lived with Bias HaMashiach and Binyan Beis HaMikdash as a daily living reality. It wasn't a theoretical thing. We all dove into Binyan Beis HaMikdash. As far as Rabbi Cooper was concerned, yes, it was all so real to him. This is a tangible Binyan Beis HaMikdash and Mashiach coming. He spoke with me once about whether the third Beis HaMikdash could run on electricity. We discussed it with him, and he was saying, yes, why ever not? No reason why not. We see other technological improvements are made to the Beis HaMikdash over the years. He used to say he can't wait. He's looking forward to eating a kezias of basa for the Korban Pesach. Of course, he couldn't eat meat. His own physical problems, he couldn't eat meat. But he said, yes, I'm looking forward. I'll be eating the meat of the Korban Pesach. Kezias of basa. He used to say to me, people say that when Mashiach comes, all the cinemas will be destroyed. All the theatres will be knocked down. He says, not true. When Mashiach comes, we will need the cinemas. We will need the theatres. He said, we need to educate thousands of Kohanim in how to bring Karbonos. How can we educate thousands of Karbonos, thousands of Kohanim, in a short amount of time? He says, people will make films on how to do the Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash, and the cinemas will be filled with Kohanim watching these films. Of course, now we've seen this age already now with all the software and so on, with all the terrific software that's available. So we've seen this now. But of course, he said this to me years and years ago when it was unheard of. Yeah, he says, we'll all be in the cinemas watching films on how to do Melikah, on how to be Makriv HaKorban Ola, how to be Makriv HaKorban Shlamim. We'll need to know. We'll have to educate people. So the theatres and cinemas will be used for that. Rabbi Cooper was Don Lachas Tuchus to an incredible degree. When I was working in the world of software and I was looking to change my parnasa to become a school teacher, there was an advertisement which I thought might be a possibility for me. The advertisement was from a modern Orthodox school, and the advertisement was to teach a Gemara class. But the advertisement was very clear. It said, to teach Gemara classes to girls. And I felt this is a job I could do, but I felt a bit awkward about it. I have to ask a shaila. I went to ask Rabbi Cooper, this school put out this advertisement, teaching Gemara classes to girls. Should I apply for this job? And he didn't believe me. He said, it's impossible. He said, it must be a misprint. Nobody would advertise like that. It must be a misprint. There's so melamed tukus on the school. He said, not shaykh that they will try and teach Gemara to girls. Well, and I couldn't persuade him otherwise that the advertisement is a genuine advertisement. It was so don lachas tukus, it didn't enter his mind that it was a true advertisement. when my late father-in-law was very ill, I went to Rabbi Cooper, we were discussing it, and he said, you must get a bracha, try and get a bracha from the Lubavitcher Rebbe. And he said, do you know how to contact Lubavitch? Do you know how to get through to the Lubavitcher Rebbe? I said, no, I don't know. He said, I'll tell you how to get through to the Lubavitcher Rebbe. Phone Lubavitch in London, phone the Lubavitch Yeshiva in London, and they'll give you the phone numbers and the fax numbers to get through to the Lubavitcher Rebbe in America. He said, try your best to get a bracha from the Lubavitcher Rebbe. He said, but when you speak to the Lubavitcher Yeshiva in London, tell them that I sent you. And this amazed me. And he must have seen the surprise on my face. Tell them that I sent you. It sounded such a strange thing to say, like sort of that my name will open doors. It was so out of character that it was good to say this. He must have seen the surprise on my face. He said, I'll explain to you why I want you to tell them that I sent you. He said, right now, and we're talking 20 years ago, right now, the Lubavitch world and the Yeshiva world are very much at loggerheads. I clearly belong to the Yeshiva world. I want the Lubavitchers to know that I am not party to any machlokas. I refuse to take part in any such machlokas. So please tell the Lubavitch in London that I'm the one who sent you. I want them to know that I refuse to have any chelik in the machlokas. So Rekup always used to say, Chazal tell us, it's very pertinent just before Shavuos, Chazal tell us at the beginning of the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, how Kodesh Baruch Hu offered the Torah first to the Bnei Esav and to the Bnei Yishmael, and they asked how Kodesh Baruch Hu what's in the Torah. So to each of the Esav and Yishmael, he gave them a little sample. To Bnei Esav, he told them, Torah says you're not allowed to kill, lo tiritzach. To Bnei Yishmael, he told them, Torah says you can't steal. Bnei Esav don't kill, Bnei Esav don't steal. So Rabbi Cooper said, you can see that, and of course they turned the Torah down on this basis. No, Bnei Esav said, how can we not kill? This is what we do. And then Bnei Yishmael said, how can we not steal? So Rabbi Cooper said, you can see that the mitzvah, the sample mitzvah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Bnei Esav and Bnei Yishmael was the hardest one for them to keep. So Rabbi Cooper says, imagine when HaKadosh Baruch Hu offered the Torah to Klal Yisrael and they replied, Ma'aseh v'nishma, imagine what would HaKadosh Baruch Hu have said if Klal Yisrael would have turned around and said, please give us a sample mitzvah. Clearly HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have given the hardest mitzvah to Klal Yisrael to keep as the sample. He gave Ma'aseh the hardest, he gave Ishmael their hardest, so for us he would have given us the hardest mitzvah. So which is the hardest mitzvah for us to keep? Said the hardest mitzvah for us to keep is the pasuk in Parshas Korach, "V'lo yiyecha Korach v'chadoso." Don't be like Korach and his Eidah. Don't be like Korach and his gang. Avoid machlokas. He says that is the hardest mitzvah for us to keep. The Meiser is Rabbi Cooper telling me to tell the Lubavitch that he had sent me to because he refused to have any part in the machlokas. Rabbi Cooper had no part in the machlokas. He's a man of Shalom, again to the nth degree. We wish the family every nechama. My father told me, in the name of Rabbi Cooper, and I mentioned this at the shiva, that if a person is visiting an ovel sitting shiva, and the ovel is sitting shiva by himself, one still says hamoki menachem eschem in the plural. Hamoki menachem eschem. Why is it in the plural? If you're speaking to one ovel only, why do we say it in the plural? So Rabbi Cooper said, because the neshama of the niftar also has a nechama. The neshama of the niftar is included in the nechama, hamaki menachem eschem, not just to the ovel, but also to the neshama of the niftar. We wish the family every nechama. We look forward to the time of Tzchias HaMeisim, where we'll once again meet our Rebbe Rabbi Cooper. Mit Hashem, we should live to see those times. Thank you.
ends off with the word, begin with the words that Gershon has beautifully said, and relate to the way that Naftali Neville Roma has finished being Messiah. So we've all been Messiah together, Shisha Sidri Mishnah, and I feel that that is the greatest Nechama. That is the Nechama when Rav Kuka looks Mishmei Meroimim from up above, and he sees how many of course, the family, children, grandchildren, and his other part of his family, those Balabatim who he worked so hard and looked after so well, when he sees how beautifully you continue, Avodas Hashem, continue in the way that he has led, that he has guided you, and I include myself, because I too have the schus to be a Talmid of Rav Kuka, to learn from him in school, to learn Gemara, to learn from him his pearls of wisdom, and still Divrei Halacha. When I came, we discussed many occasions, we discussed various different matters, where he gave me guidance, gave me sources, in both in learning and in Chochmas HaChaim, and he sees the way this shul continues, then this is the greatest Nechama, the greatest Nachas, and every mitzvah, and every word of Torah, that we, and our children, and all those who learn from us, from the exemplary way, in as much as we are able to be an example to others, this is all of Zchus, for Rav Kuka, an ongoing accumulation of Zchuyos, which continue for him, and an Ilui Neshama for him, and increase the incredible and unthinkable and unimaginable schar that he has in the Olam HaEmes as a result of the wonderful way he led his life. And as much as we can continue to keep that example before us and continue going Michayel El Choyo, that will be a zchus for us, but first and foremost that will be a zchus for the one who taught us, for Rav Kuka, who will remain our Rebbe, who will remain our mentor, and who will remain that example in so many ways of how we should live our lives. This will truly be the tzaddikim, afilu b'misosom k'ruim chayim, even after they're physically no longer alive, but they are alive, their teachings, their zchuyos, and in this case, Rav Kuka, all of that is very much alive, Chaim, in the Chaim Nitzchim, in the Chaim of Olam Habo, and may we be zocher to those days of Tzchias HaMetim, when this is what we ask for, that we be reunited with Rav Kuka, that we are able to continue in this way, when these days come, being Heirov Yomenu, in the same way as at Matan Torah, we were zocher to Tzchias HaMetim. May we ask, as we're on literally the doorstep of Matan Torah, may we be zocher to Tzchias HaMesim, bin Heiro B'Yomeinu, to be reunited with this wonderful, special Rav and personality, Omein, Kein Yehi Ratzon. Rotzach and Shporuch to the Zachis of Israel, Pikach Ibrahim, Tiron, Kishneema, Adonai Shemitzaman, Tikoi, Guilty Ravi Adir.